The call came this morning at 7:30. Ursula Hepworth, the senior consultant at McNeice House Child and Adolescent Mental Health Inpatient Unit in Belfast, rang me on my mobile and mentioned a 10-year-old boy at risk of possibly harming himself and others. "Name of Alex Connolly," she said. Alex's mother had attempted suicide yesterday and has since been hospitalised, while the boy had been taken to the paediatric unit at the city hospital. Alex had spent an hour alone with her in their home in West Belfast, trying to call for help. Eventually, a woman coming to collect Alex for a drama group arrived and took the pair to hospital. Quite understandably, the boy was in quite a state. Ursula informed me that a social worker named Michael Jones had already had contact with the boy and that Jones was concerned about the boy's mental health. Alex's mother has attempted suicide at least 4 times in the last 5 years. 8 out of 10 children who witness a parent self-harm will go on to repeat the action on themselves. "Typically, I would be the lead clinician on this boy's case," Ursula explained, her Greek accent sliced up by Northern Irish tones. "But as our new adolescent psychiatry consultant, I thought I'd pass the baton over to you. What do you say?" I sat up in bed, greeted by a swathe of boxes all over the floor of my new flat. It's a 4-room place on the outskirts of the city, so close to the ocean that I wake to the sound of seagulls and the faint smell of salt. It is tiled floor to ceiling in a tomato red tile that burns like the inside of a furnace every sunrise, on account of the fact that the apartment faces east and I haven't had the chance to buy curtains. I haven't had time to furnish it either, such have been the demands of this new job since moving back from Edinburgh 2 weeks ago. I glanced at my watch. "When would you need me to come in?" "In an hour?" The 6th of May has been circled on my work schedule as a day off for the past 3 years and was agreed at the point I signed my employment contract. It always will be for the rest of my working life. On this day, those whom I count as my closest friends will arrive bearing consolation offerings of cheesecake, tender embraces, photo albums of me and my daughter in happier times, when she was alive and relatively well. Some of these friends will not have seen me for months, but even when their hair colour has changed and other relationships have ended, these friends will show up on my doorstep to help me purge this day out of my calendar for another year. And it will always be so. "I'm sorry," I told Ursula, and I began to explain about my contract, about the fact that I've arranged to take this day off, and perhaps she could interview the boy for today and I could catch up in his notes tomorrow. There was a long pause. "This is really quite important," she said sternly. There are many who feel intimidated by Ursula. At 43, I like to think I am past such things as inferiority, and in any case, the staggering reality of Poppy's 4th anniversary already had me on the verge of tears. I took a deep breath and informed Ursula in my most professional voice that I would gladly meet with the rest of the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services team first thing tomorrow morning. And then something happened that I still can't explain. Something that has happened only a few times before and is so unlike any other feeling that I've named it quite simply, the feeling. It defies words, but if I'm to attempt to verbalise it, it goes like this. Deep in my solar plexus, there's at first a warmth and then a fire, though not a sensation of heat or pain, that creeps up my neck and jaw, right into my scalp, until my hair stands on end. And at the same time, I feel it in my knees, my ankles, even my pelvis, until I am so conscious of every part of my body that I feel like I'm about to lift off. It's like my soul is trying to tell me something, an urgent, tingling message that so fills my capillaries and cells, it threatens to burst if I don't listen. "Are you all right?" Ursula asked, and I told her to give me a moment. I set the receiver on my dresser and wiped my face. In 10 years of training, I have never come across a single piece of literature to inform me why this thing happens to me sometimes, nor why it tends to happen on the most significant of occasions. I only know that I have to listen. Last time I didn't, my daughter decided to end her life, and I was not able to stop her.